Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them, along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel of Mark is a little bit different than the other Gospels in that Jesus keeps telling people to keep secret who he is. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody that I cured you. Don't tell anybody that I healed you. Don't tell anybody that I gave you your sight back. Don't tell anybody until he is risen from the dead. This is an odd thing, and to get our minds around it, we kind of have to go beyond the text and contemplate and consider what's going on here. What he's saying in this is there's something special that he reveals to his disciples, not only then, but to you and I, that he does not reveal to everyone. He reveals himself in special ways to those he loves, and who respond to him with love in return. We all are followers of Jesus Christ, and we know him, and we are here week by week, year by year, throughout our entire lives, because we know and love the Lord. And we don't just come here out of a habit, we come here because we want to be close to him. And we are close to him every time we come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass and we receive his most precious body and blood. We are close to him when we come in the morning for adoration time, when we just adore the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We're close to him when we're baptized as little children and as we're confirmed, as some of our kids are going to be confirmed pretty soon. And we are close to him when we come to him for his mercy in the sacrament of penance. We're close to him in our sacraments of holy matrimony, and we're close to him in the priesthood. We're close to him in the anointing of the sick. We come close to the Lord, but we have to be recognizing him and knowing that he's not just appearing to dazzle us. In this transfiguration, when he appeared with Elijah and Moses, Peter was very happy and content to build something permanent, booths, tents, where Moses and Elijah could stay with them always. We don't find that Jesus constantly stays in an intense way with us. Our lives kind of ebb and flow with him, and we don't always have the kind of moments that we'd like to have, those intense moments when we feel especially close to him. Have you ever sat by a campfire in the summertime and looked at the flames of the fire coming up from the wood and thought to yourself, there's something more than just fire here. There's something of the presence of God here. There's something that you hear in the crackling of the wood or the flames. And you might just have a really wonderful conversation with somebody when you're sitting there by that fire. And that conversation may turn to God in such a way that you both are experiencing God's presence through the other person. Have you ever walked along a lake? Not so much Conneaut Lake, but a lake that doesn't have houses around. And all you can hear is the rustle of the leaves in the trees and some of the birds. You have a feeling that you are in the presence of the Lord. There's all sorts of experiences like that. I know I've walked along the oceans, both the Pacific and the Atlantic, in the evening as the sun was going down. And I listened to the waves. Listen to the waves. And you can hear the presence of the Lord. And sometimes we have experiences in church that are intense. We've experienced the presence of the Lord coming over us in a profoundly wonderful way. Well, this is what happened at the Transfiguration when Jesus was there. And because he is the Lord of time, he had both Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophet, with him, discussing with him. But Jesus doesn't point to himself, but points to the resurrection of the dead, which the Lord God, his Father, was going to accomplish. The disciples didn't know what he meant when he brought it up. And they, in fact, the last sentence says, so they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Jewish people had gotten an inkling of this resurrection of the dead. And the Pharisees, even though they're talked about all the time, don't be a Pharisee because they're strict law abiders. They're very strict. They were the group in Judaism of the time that believed in the resurrection of the dead. And in fact, most of the first Christians were former Pharisees. So they understood the importance of the law, but they also believed in the resurrection of the dead so that when Jesus was raised from the dead, they were the first ones to receive and hear and understand this when Peter and the others went out and preached. The story in the Old Testament of the sacrifice of Isaac is definitely a profound story, and it shows to what length our faith can go when we truly love God. And we're not calling for the sacrifice of our firstborn sons, but the Lord asked Abraham, in a culture where they did sacrifice children, in a culture that didn't understand that the Lord did not desire the death of sinners, he asked the Lord, asked Abraham to test him about his faith. And Abraham was ready to go. Abraham was ready to do the deed. But the Lord would not let it happen, and he substituted a lamb. A lamb, a ram, as it says here, who had horns, a ram. Isn't it interesting? God intervened with Abraham to stop the killing of the son. But when it came time to give his all, God the Father allowed for his son to be crucified on the cross and die for us, to substitute for us our sins, all of our sins, all of the sins from the beginning of the world to the end, he took upon himself who knew no sin. He took this upon himself to offer himself to his Father in love. This Lent, as we enter more fully into the presence of the Lord, in all of those experiences, like when we come here for the Stations of the Cross on Friday evenings, when we get together and sit at the table in the back with our soup and bread, when we go out with our fellow Christians on Wednesdays at lunchtime and share a meal. May we have those intense moments. May we find in those moments the Lord who gives us life, who loves us, who is our Savior, and whose voice is heard among us, follow me, come, take up your cross and follow me. And we follow him into his glorious kingdom of the resurrection of the dead.